This passage always comes to mind when I think of new challenges. And I love the occasion in Joshua chapter number 1, because I believe God was showing His people that today was a new day. It was a day full of opportunities, and that they were responsible for their victories in the future. We can't live in the past, and we certainly can't live in the future, but I believe the very present that we live in is what creates our future. In the Bible, in Joshua chapter number 1, we find that Moses had died. The people of God had wandered for 40 years in the wilderness because of their disobedience. At Kadesh Barnea, when God brought them out, He said, "Go possess the land at once." And fear, and they thought they had to examine what God said. They didn't claim the promise of God. Therefore, for the next 40 years, a generation had to die out. And there was a generation that was living for a particular day. That day was now. Joshua was the leader. He was become the leader, take the place of Moses. And God gives him instruction and tells him that they will be victorious. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. He tells them the dimensions of this promise, the place of his victory in verse 4. Verse 5, he said, "They shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will be with thee." Now think what a promise. As God had been with Moses, He said, "Joshua, I'm going to be with you." Let me just tell you something. As God was with Moses, so He is with every one of you. You graduates, you hear me today. As God was with Moses, so He is with you guys. Think about that. The same God that used Moses to confront Pharaoh, that gave him the courage, that gave him the wisdom, that gave him the stamina to endure the criticisms, endure the doubting and the skeptics, that gave him the faith across the Red Sea, is the same God that will be with you in your future. And he tells Joshua this, "I'm thankful we serve a mighty God." And he says, "Listen, He'll not fail thee, forsake thee. Be strong. Be of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance." He said, "You will be victorious." And he tells him again, "Be strong, very courageous." We're living in a world that's full of challenges. God has to remind me often to be strong and courageous. Notice He said it over and over. Be strong, be courageous. He said that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded. Don't turn from it to the right hand. Don't turn to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And the book of thy law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Man, a few things jump out at me. It's the redundancy of telling us the importance of being in the Word, to studying the Word, knowing the Word, living your life by the book, and what God has said, and He promises that you will prosper if you will do the things that's written in the book. And so the Bible tells us that He said, "I've not commanded thee what? Be strong." He tells him again, "Be of good courage and not afraid. Neither dismay, for the Lord your God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And he tells them that wherever you go, you are going to find victory. Wherever you place your feet, you're going to find the very presence and the promise of God there. Father, we thank you for the Bible. And I'm thankful that every person that gets up, there's a new day before us all. But God, these that have wretched position in their life that they've been trying to attain, just as these people are trying to attain this day, may they seize it. And God, may we see the importance of seizing victory by the present. We will seize the victory of the future by what we do today. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, I want you to understand, these people for 40 years have been living off manna. Now it was time to live off milk and honey. I mean, they were ready. They were ready to go. For 40 years, basically, they lived a life not of victory, but just mediocrity. They just got through it. And now it was time to seize the very thing that God had promised them. Let me say this to you today, that you've been living, you graduates, you've been living for this day. There's no doubt. Maddie, when you started off this thing, you were looking toward the end, was you not? And it seemed so far away. You that just graduated, I guarantee you, Elwood thought, man, this is so far out there. Blaine did too. Probably his freshman year thought, man, that's so far away. But it's just around the corner. Just right around the corner. You've been living for that day. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we miss that moment. Amen? We miss the moment we're living in because we're constantly worried about the future. But I want to tell you, there's going to come a day, if you live long enough, that you're going to see the very opportunity that God has set before you, and it's your time to seize it, and it's your time to take advantage of what God has given you. And that's what He's saying to Joshua here. You've been living for this moment. The people that have endured these 40 years have been living for this very moment. You see, I want you to go in, and I want you to take possession. And God begins to come, don't be afraid. Be very courageous. You're going to prosper. You're going to have good success. Now think about it. That's what He said. Now can we believe God? I think so. Should we trust God? I think so. Should we just take Him at His word? Absolutely. But what was the very thing that was contingent upon that? Number one, He looks at it and He says, I want you to stay by the book. I want you to get in the Bible. I want you to read and see what I say. And I want you to seek My face. And if you'll do that, then when you go and what's before you, your future that's before you to seize, He said, you're going to have victory. Now, let me say this to you. The future for these people was not a place without conflict. The future for the people of God here was not a place without wars. The future here was not a place without discouragement and a few defeats. But you see, it wasn't permanent defeat. But you'll find that there was going to be difficulty, there's going to be adversity all along the way. But that would never hinder you from having victory. You see, because you face trouble in your life don't mean you're not victorious. Because you get knocked down a few times don't mean that you're not going to win. I mean, I want you to understand that this life is difficult sometimes. This life is rough sometimes. And things are not going to go your way. People's not going to be fair. People's not going to treat you kind. People's not going to give you a fair shake. But that doesn't mean that you will not be victorious. Your victory is not determined upon having trouble in this world. It's about your relationship with God and your attitude toward the things of God and the attitude that God gives you to live in this world to be a light and be salt here upon this earth to make a difference. You can seize everything that God wants for you. Every one of us, every day, once you understand this, some people say you can be all you want to be. That's not so. That's not so. But you can be all that God wants you to be. Every single bit of it. And what you'll find here, there's several things I want you to notice that are out here. You can have victory in spite of hardship. I look back at Brother Josh tonight. Use him as an example. I know he don't really like that. But you know anybody that's had hardship the way Josh has that lives his life as victorious as Josh does? Do you know what? And I know Josh don't want me saying this, but you know what that is? That's faith. That's faith. We had some people at the Galilean home that I saw that I'd take them to go play golf, and they'd be out there in crutches, and they'd had legs and 7 or 8 surgeries stretching their legs so they could be taller and hopefully walk a little better. And they'd go out there and play, and they'd walk out there, and he'd swing. His name's Freddie Caballero, and he'd swing, and he'd fall and hit the ground. I'd laugh, and he'd laugh, and he'd jump up, and we had the best time ever. I'd never seen him defeated. Never. Jill, of course, she's downstairs working and preparing. But listen, I've never seen Freddie defeated. Not one time. Nothing would hold him down. There's Abdul Samad. He come from Afghanistan. Brother Herbert, Sister Ann knows him. I call him Nubs. You see what I call him? Nubs. He got his hands blowed off. His kid picked up a bomb that was fixed up. When they were fighting the Russians and the Soviet Union at that time. Harvey Swift gone, one of his eyes gone, cut glass. We used to go play basketball, alright? We played basketball. I went with Campbellfield University when I was a young man. Had another young man by the name of Ludovic Camille that literally had his whole face taken down, cancer cut out, and his face was deformed and put back up, but he was there there playing basketball, and every one of them had the most energetic, just happy and thrilled to be there playing ball. And here's a guy who had no hands playing ball. He's warming up, hitting three-pointer after three-pointer. You don't believe me? Look on, you can get on YouTube and find Abdul Samad from the Galilean home, no hands, shooting a basketball. It's crazy. Playing intense defense because he was this low to the ground, quick as a cat, and he loved to play ball. And there's another one called Bootlegger. And his name was John Baudelaire. John Baudelaire was from Haiti. He was missing a leg. And he had a false leg. But I tell you what, you can find John. You can go on YouTube and listen to John sing songs, wrote all kinds of gospel songs. Loves the Lord. Got just an intense ability that God's given him to serve the Lord. I never saw these people with as much adversity they faced in life. They grew up in a redneck area of Kentucky. Let's face it. When they grew up, the Galilean home wasn't as accepted over in Liberty as it is today. People kind of hated them being there because they were outsiders. Now, I'm talking just when I started, over 20 years ago, it was a different view. We'd go into restaurants and people look at us with disdain because I'm coming in with somebody that's brown, somebody that looks like they're from, somewhere in the Middle East, and somebody that's black, and somebody that looks Hispanic, and here we are, and have a mentally handicapped kid as well with us, and we walk in, we start talking, and I say, hey, bootlegger, let's do this. Hey, nubs, we're talking. Then some people think, man, that guy's awful mean to those people. I'd get up in the pulpit, and I'd hear them. I'd walk up, and they'd call Nuka Roja, and they'd cheer. I thought they'd give me a term of affection. They was. They was calling me redneck, right? Redneck preacher. Listen, they had a spirit about them. They had a spirit. Nothing ever defeated them. Let me tell you what to do. In all these people, they're an inspiration to me. Every single day, every time I talk to them, I let them know that too. I remember when I blew out my knee and I was so disgusted and I was kind of getting depressed about it. Finding out how long and possibilities this might happen. Freddie called me up and I hadn't even told him. He talked about everything in the world and then he asked, how you doing? I said, I told him, I said, I messed my knee up. But by that time, God done worked me over. Because the whole time I was on the phone, I was like, I had Freddie call you. That's what I felt like on the inside. I had Freddie call you to remind you this is nothing. You see, that is nothing. It was nothing. God can take people like that and use them to inspire us. And the reason they inspire us is because of this very thing, in spite of what they faced, they were victorious. Life doesn't promise. Life, you're not promised everything to be sunshine and rainbows, honey. That's just not the way it is. Here's what God wants them to do. God tells them to go claim the land. What I say to you, God has a plan for your life. Claim it. Seize it. Become what God wants you to become. Pretty simple. This is your land, He says. Go claim it. It belongs to you. I've given it to you. Whatever God's plan for you, He's given it to you. You can succeed. It may be difficult getting there, and the journey may be rough, but you can succeed. Let me say this. Secondly, they are to have confidence. How many times he tells them, he said, I will be with thee. I'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong. Be of good courage. In verse 7, be strong and very courageous. And you find it goes on. And verse 9, have not I commanded to be strong, good courage, and be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He said, listen, I've got your back. I'm with you wherever you go. Number one, you claim what God has you, but I want you to be confident in me. Don't rely upon self and your own abilities, how strong you are, how your personality is, how wise you are. It doesn't matter. The truth is, God wants you to depend upon Him and be confident, because I know this. I'm putting on facade, but God knows how weak I am. And I know how weak I am, and I know how frail I am, and I need God's strength. And that's what He says, listen, I want you to be confident. I want you to do this. And you see, you just go and do what I called you to do. You trust in me. And third thing, He wants them to be committed to the Word. Over and over, don't steer to the right hand, don't go to the left. You stay by the book. Don't go too far one way. You don't go too far another. He said it's wrong if you do that. Don't become a liberal with it, and don't make it say more than what it actually says. Don't become a legalist with it. And so there's ditches on both sides of the road. You know how I know that? Because I got a son that just got his permit. And I'm constantly telling him there's dishes on both sides of the road. Amen? I'm more than reminded of it now. And so I say to everybody that's here, there is, we got to be committed to the book. We don't decide what the Bible says. Right? We're not the one that determines truth. We don't determine. We discover the truth of Scripture. And when you're a discoverer of truth of Scripture, you will stay right down the center of the road where God wants you to be. And that's the safest place to be on that narrow path. And so, I'd rather discover, don't be a discerner, stay by the book. He says, if you'll do this, you'll meditate day and night, do according to all that's written therein, you'll be prosperous. You're going to have good success. Let me tell you. You say, what's the greatest key to my success? Is it the degree I get? Is it where I go, what I achieve? No. Not about how much money you make. It's about if you're following the will of God for your life. And the only way you can know the mind of God and the will of God is through this book. Follow it, you will achieve good success. And so, he not only tells them to be committed to the Word, but he tells them to be courageous in their leadership. There'd be confident, yes. There'd be committed to the words, absolutely. Certain committed to the word. There have they claim what God has for them, but they need to be courageous in their life. I want to say to everybody here, God wants us to live our life courageously. That doesn't mean an arrogant jerk, but I think of Daniel. Daniel come along, what did he say? He requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he would not eat the king's meat nor drink his wine. He didn't come say, this is how it's going to be. He was one who was very polite, but yet he stood. He was one that had conviction, but he also had kindness. He was one who was able to live his life as light and salt, and yet somehow be like Stephen when they looked on him and saw the face of an angel. He wasn't one looking for a fight. But brother, if you crossed him, if you tried to get him to compromise on his convictions, he just was not going to do it. And his friends were that way too. And that tells me something. You better choose good friends along the way. So you better, listen, God has not called you to be a follower. God's called you to be a leader. A leader. The old saying, heard Brother Price say 1,000 times, any old dead fish can float with the flow, right? Any dead fish. But it takes something to go against the stream. God, this culture is going one way. You need to go the other. You see, you need to stand firm in opposition. And so you say, but Brother Grant, I'm scared. How can I be courageous? I'm not telling you not to be afraid. I get up about every Sunday morning scared to death still yet. Do you realize that? Every Sunday morning, scared to death. Almost every Wednesday night, scared to death. So Brother Grant wouldn't know it. No, after I get up here, I'm normally pretty good. But beforehand, I'm scared. I'm scared. And I hope it stays that way for a long time. You see, courage is not the absence of fear, but it's just the mastery over it. Right? I don't have to be the one that masters it. I just have to have enough faith to get up here, and God's the one that's the mastery over it. You just do what God wants you to do, and I promise you that you will face good success. And so he tells them this. They were getting ready to go on the adventure of a lifetime. And you know what they did? They prepared a generation behind. You see, your journey starts today. And unless the Lord comes back, you may not finish everything that God has for us to do here in this world. And there's many people that's here. They may not finish everything God wants to accomplish in this world. But I tell you what they can do. They prepare people that they're going to leave behind. Their life was making an impactful difference for generations. You're just getting started on that. And I challenge you. I challenge you to claim everything that God has for you. Be courageous. Be committed. And for God's sake, I believe this. You be a leader for the glory of God. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thankful for this time that we have here, and we're thankful for these lives. Lord, we've seen many of these kids graduate kindergarten, get through middle school graduation this year. Some of them went into high school. Some of them are approaching their last year of elementary school, and some are maybe getting ready to face their last year of middle school. Lord, there's a whole assortment of kids and people here, stages of life. But God, sometimes that's all they see. Before they know it, they'll be facing another stage. They'll be looking at one maybe they're going to marry one day. And that's another stage, another adventure. When that baby comes along, what another adventure that is. And before they know it, they're going to be standing and looking, and their own children are going to be at the place that they're at today. God, life is so quick. And it seems like I'm reminded of that just so much, even more so. In these past few years, it is so, so quick. God, help us to redeem the time and help them to seize the opportunity that when they're done, they say, I have lived my life in victory. And Lord, we choose it. They could choose not to be in Your Word. They could choose not to claim everything. And they could choose to try to do it in their own power. And they could choose not to be a leader. And as a result of that, they would have failed. And the failings of the people of God in the time we get to the judges is the very fact that they didn't put You first. They didn't claim what You had before them. They did not follow You and claim everything that they had. They didn't stay by the book. They weren't committed to Your Word. And as a result, Lord, their lives were a life of defeat and pain and suffering. And God, I'm thankful that if we'll do it Your way, we can have good success. What a promise. God, may we all be a success when this life's said and done. Not according to what the world says, but according to what You say. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.